Bonjour à tous. Il y a quelqu'un qui parle français ce matin. Bonne fête de mère aussi. I just wanted to say some words in French because some people wonder how in the world the Japanese can speak French. There is a ministry. So every time I visit churches, some people ask me, can you speak some phrases in French? I don't know, I want to double check if you can really speak French. So I just spoke it. But I also said the Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and especially the mothers. And thank you so much for your hard work. And I myself a mother, and also my wife, and I appreciate God, you know, the mothers God has provided and in our lives. So, and as Pastor Rick said, I was born and raised in Japan. I'm a Japanese, and you know, again, it's kind of weird thing, like hearing about Japanese missionary has a trouble speaking English, like going to Africa, now serving Africa, French-speaking Africa, now going to Quebec. That doesn't make sense, you know, but, you know, God has a good sense of humor, you know, so that sometimes we need a, you know, kind of good sense of humor, but I appreciate your support and prayers for the last several years, and it's been a great privilege and a blessing for us to serve together with you, and you guys are a great encouragement for us, and in many ways, not only the financial support, but prayers and the words of encouragement in occasional correspondences, and appreciate your support. When I was visiting a church in one of the well-known churches in Georgia, after the service, I was in a line to greet the senior pastor. When it was my turn in the line, a friend of mine introduced me to the preacher and by saying that I was an MTW missionary. Then the pastor, the well-known pastor, suddenly kneeled down on the ground and thanked me by saying, missionaries are my heroes. And some people even think that the missionaries are fearless. As we all know well, I'm definitely not a hero. I still fail in many ways and in many areas each and every day of my life. I have a long way to go as a recovering Pharisee. I definitely need God's grace every day. One of the biggest problems that I am working on is that of fear. Since I was a child, I have been very fearful. In fact, my family and friends used to call me chicken. And I don't know how in Japanese, but in chicken, that's a good translation. But since I became a Christian, thanks to his sanctifying work, I have made tremendous progress in this area. Yet still, I do have fear issues. For example, last May, when I was driving, when I was visiting Quebec, and I was driving through an elevated highway in downtown Montreal. It was almost midnight when all of a sudden I saw a bright flash of light in front of me, probably 50 feet ahead of me. Then I realized that it must have been a speeding camera flash. Since I just got on the expressway from a merging ramp, and I also remember that the vehicle just flew by passing me, I thought it was likely not me who was caught by the camera. Yet after that I started worrying about and obsessing about this incident. You see, my problem? I'm a warrior. I need God's grace and His transforming power every day. So today, I'd like to learn more about our worries and fears and about our faith in the Lord from the well-known Bible passage where Jesus calms the storm. Today's passage is Matthew chapter 8, 23, verse 27. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to verse 27. When he got on the boat and his disciples followed him, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waters swept over the boat But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, What kind of man is this? Even the winds and waves obey him. This is the word of God. This passage starts with the scene where Jesus and his disciples were trying to go across the lake by boat. Suddenly, very strong winds started blowing over the lake, and the boat was about to sink. Since some of his disciples were experienced fishermen, I imagine that such a storm might have not been a big deal for them. However, they were terrified, and they went to Jesus and woke him up. According to the record found in the Gospel of Mark, when they spoke to Jesus, they showed some frustration. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Then Jesus replied to them by saying, You of little faith, why are you so afraid? And got up and rebuked the winds and waves. As a result, it became completely calm. The disciples were amazed at Jesus' authority and the power. In order to understand the message of this passage better, let's quickly take a look at its larger context. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, the beginning of his ministry on the earth, Jesus calls his first disciples. This is the way Jesus developed and trained his disciples. So first he calls these disciples. Then from chapter 5 and verse 7 through chapter 7, verse 29, we find the Sermon on the Mount. This is a lecture in a classroom setting. From chapter 8, Jesus shows his divine authority and power through actual ministry. In other words, it is a demonstration of his authority in a real setting, what we could say on-the-job training for the disciples. So in chapter 8, the beginning, after chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, first he healed the sick. And then in chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, he calms a storm, today's passage. Then after this, from verses 28 through 34, Jesus casts out demons. And jump to chapter 9, verses 18 through 26, Jesus resurrects the dead. In this manner, Jesus is helping his disciples to have faith in him by showing his divine authority in a variety of situations. In fact, the sickness, natural disasters, demons, and death are the very things which people were most terrified, afraid of in the ancient world. We feel fearful when we cannot control our situation. Therefore, when people saw Jesus demonstrating his authority over these things, they believed that Jesus was God. Now, today's passage deals with the natural disaster and the storm. It's very important to observe that the setting is the Sea of Galilee. In those days, the sea, the ocean, the place where you can find water, was the most terrifying place in the world. Even without the storm, most of us have a chance of drowning in the deep and unpredictable sea. It's an environment over which we cannot have control. Also, in those days, people believed that there were sea monsters in the sea, as we read an example about the Leviathan and the stories of Jonah in the Old Testament. In addition, they believed that the God of sea was the most terrifying, horrifying God, as we see in the book of Jonah. They also believed that the ocean, the sea, was a place where demons lived. Do you remember the story of the evil spirits who wanted to get into the pigs, which later rushed into the lake, the sea? Furthermore, they believed that the sea or ocean was a symbol of chaos, where even God has no control. That's the way they believed in the ancient world. Therefore, those fishermen who work at the sea must have been considered extremely brave. Yet, given the context of the setting, it is understandable to see that even those ex-fishermen were terrified in the storm. So, what are your fears? What are you afraid of? Losing employment? Not finding a job? Afraid of not completing your school degree? Losing your wife or kids' adoration? Afraid of getting sick? What about getting a speeding ticket? I still have fears. As I said earlier, since I'm a chicken, sometimes I do worry about some of these things. What about the fear of facing the consequences of your failures, sins, or mistakes? Or losing your good reputation? Or disappointing others because of your failures, sins, and mistakes? Oswald Chambers says, it is not only wrong to worry, it is unbelief. Worrying means we do not believe that God can look after the practical details of our lives. And it is never anything but those details that worry us. You see, worrying and being fearful says something about our faith in God. That's why Jesus said to his terrified, horrified disciples in the storm, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Today, we'd like to learn three things from this passage concerning our fears and our faith in God. The first one is, Jesus is not sleeping. Jesus is not sleeping. The second one is that you can go up to Jesus and wake him up. You can go up to Jesus and wake him up. And the third thing, the lastly, Jesus is always on your side. Jesus is always near you or with you on your side. So first of all, let's take a look at the first point. Jesus is not sleeping. Like his disciples, faced with difficulties and challenges, we tend to complain to Jesus by saying, "Don't you care if we drown?" However, in reality, Jesus knows exactly what's going on in our lives, and he does care when we struggle with challenges, difficulties, and sins. As we read in the text, Jesus was so confident with his own authority and the power that he was even able to take a nap in the midst of chaotic situation on the boat. He knew exactly how to deal with the situation, and he did not need to get excited or anxious about it. In Psalms 121:4, we read, "Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Therefore, although he might have been sleeping, he was keenly aware of exactly what was going on in the boat. Otherwise, if he was actually in a deep sleep and unaware of what was going on around him, how could he say, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Instead, he would have said, "What? What's going on? Oh, this is a horrible storm. Okay, let me take care of this right away." Please note even just before this story, Jesus already said in Matthew 8:20, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Therefore, although Jesus may seem to be sleeping in the midst of the troubles that we face, we should rest assured that Jesus is completely aware of what's going on in our lives. Secondly, let's take a look at the fact that we can go up to Jesus and wake him up. Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you afraid? Might sound like a rebuke." Yes, it is a rebuke since it's unbelief if we are terrified when we are with Jesus, who has authority and power over all things. Yet, at the same time, Jesus will never reject or ignore those who come to him for help. In John 6:37, we read, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Also in Hebrews 13:5, we read, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Why? Why won't he reject us or ignore us? It's because he loves us. His love for you and for me is clearly expressed and guaranteed by his death on the cross and his powerful resurrection. When we face difficulties and problems, let's look up to him on the cross. The cross is a symbol of the gospel, which guarantees our free access to Jesus and his love poured out for us. When we meditate upon how much Jesus suffered for us on the cross and how much our Heavenly Father suffered by having his only begotten Son crucified and punished for my sins, for your sins, for our sins, our hearts should be melted by his overwhelming love. In Romans 8:32, Paul describes the love of the Father and Jesus as follows: "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" Therefore, if you think that Jesus seems to be sleeping as you find yourself in a difficult situation, why don't you go to Jesus and wake him up? It's okay to do so. He's not going to be annoyed because he knows exactly what's going on in your life, and he loves you. And he loves to hear about our fears, our struggles. Then you need to tell him honestly what exactly you're afraid of and why you're so fearful. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest." At the same time, you might want to acknowledge and admit your sins and unbelief, your lack of faith and lack of trust in Jesus, who is far more than capable to deal with your problems. Then, in his presence, repent of your unbelief. If he had shown some frustration by yelling at him, "Don't you care if he's wrong, as the disciples did? Why don't we admit our faults and repent and seek his forgiveness?" In 1 John 1:9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, who forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Then by reflecting upon the story where Jesus calms the storm, acknowledge the fact that Jesus had authority and power over all his creatures and even natural disasters. Jesus is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the ruler of the universe. He knows every tiny detail and in his own universe. On top of this, He loves us. He showed how much He loves us by receiving all the punishment for us of our sins on the cross. Since that's the case, it's obvious that He really cares for us. He's willing to take care of all of our problems. Jesus said in Matthew 10:29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of a Father, your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." And finally, we need to touch upon the very important point. As it was the case in the storm on the lake, no matter what kind of situation that you are in, Jesus is always on your side. Jesus is always with you. And Jesus is always within your reach. He's always next to you. As mentioned earlier, since Jesus is the King of the universe, there's no problem that He won't be able to solve. However, the way He solves the problem and the timing of the resolution are totally in His sovereign hands. In other words, we may run into a case where things are not going in the direction that we desire, or we may run into a situation that we won't be able to avoid. For example, we can point out the fears and worries that some Christians might have experienced. Those genuine Christian converts in a prison, even after receiving the death sentence. Those Christians who perish in auto accidents and airplane crashes. Furthermore, those Christians who went through persecutions and who were even martyred by ungodly regimes. However, here, we do not want to lose sight of the fact that in spite of these horrible situations, Jesus was completely aware of what was happening in their lives, and that everything was totally in His sovereign hands. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being martyred for his faith in Jesus, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. After the cross and the resurrection and ascension, Jesus should be seated as the King of the universe at the right hand of God, the Father. Here, Jesus was standing. What was He doing? On earth, the Jewish leaders were busy accusing Stephen of being a blasphemer and began stoning him. However, in heavenly court, Jesus was standing as His defender and witness for Him. He was on Stephen's side, and He was praying for him. Was Jesus incompetent? Couldn't He have rescued Stephen at that very moment? Of course, yes. He was able to do that. He could have called the heavenly angels and destroyed the Jewish leaders in a snap. But He dared not to do that by obeying the will of His Father. And Stephen and his martyrdom gave glory to God. Therefore, even if you realize that the things are not going in the direction that you hoped, or you run into an unavoidable situation, please keep in mind that Jesus is always on your side. Jesus is always with you. Keep in mind that you still have intimate relationship with Jesus in the midst of an avoidable and disastrous situation. Nothing can compare with such an intimate relationship with Him who is always on your side. Nothing can hinder such an intimate relationship with Jesus. Therefore, so many martyrs went home triumphantly by overcoming the fear of death. such an intimate fellowship with Jesus cast away all fears. They went home foretasting the certainty of his promises, because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. So what can man do to me?" This intimate relationship with Jesus is firmly based on the fact that all of our sins are forgiven thanks to his atonement on the cross. Through this intimate fellowship with Jesus, we'll receive a peace that nothing can shake. In John 14:27, we read, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Therefore, receiving an unshakable peace through intimate fellowship with the one who is always on your side is the secret to increasing our faith in the midst of a difficult and terrifying situation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect upon your overwhelming love, which was clearly expressed by sending your Son and having him punished for my sins, for our sins on the cross. We learn that you love us so much, and you know exactly what's going on in our lives. However, we sometimes have the impression that you were sleeping while we were in trouble. We are sorry for showing some frustration and complaining about your lack of response to our prayers. We acknowledge our unbelief and sins. Please, Lord, forgive us. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You reign over the universe, all that you have created. You are far more than capable to handle all of our problems and solve all of our issues. So please help us count on your goodness and grace and increase our faith. Please give us an unshakable peace through intimate fellowship with you. Please fill our hearts with peace and love so that all of our fears disappear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.